Blog Talk Radio.
Today you can claim the life you were meant to have. This is All the Way In Radio. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and I'm here to help you recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. It's easy to find people who will tell you you can't. But success and happiness only come when we reject you can't and fully embrace I can. The philosophical foundation for All the Way In can be summed up in the advice of my father, who told me to let the words of my critics roll away like water from a duck's back. So clear your mind and open your heart and join me. You'll be glad you did. This is All the Way In. I'm your host, Deborah E. Lake, and it's Tuesday, October 20th. I'm recording live from Chicago. It's 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and tonight I'm sharing some thoughts about running my first marathon. This is part three of Who Would Have Thought, running my first marathon after 50. Some of you may remember that in part one, I talked about the things that I needed to do to prepare to train for a marathon. Just to get ready to train. And in part two, I talked about the things that I needed to do to succeed with the training. Now, after having been to Maui, I made the trip, and having participated in my first marathon, I'm here to share some thoughts with you. So today I'm talking about what I experienced, how the experiences have changed me, and what it means to be successful to me. And I'm hoping that you will get information that will help you and some questions that will guide you as you follow your journey. My experiences were ongoing from the beginning, as most. From the night that I attended the information meeting to my trip back home from Maui, each experience was important and unique. As I look back, some of what I experienced was uncomfortable, but all of them were important and good. As I look back again, and I've been doing that a lot lately, most of my experiences fall in the category that I call letting go. I had to let go of my idea of what I could and could not do. I had to let go of trying to control how the training would go, trying to anticipate what would happen and then prepare for what I anticipated. I had to let go of my expectations. What did I expect? I had to let go of all of that. I even had to let go of some people. I had to let go of who I was. I was one of the people I had to let go of. Who I was before the marathon journey. And most important and foundational to all the other letting go, I had to let go of my fears. And as I let go, and the more I let go, the freer I became. The more I let go, the wider my choices were. Because you see, often, I believe, we spend a lot of energy and time and attention to holding on. We hold on to things, sometimes long past the time of letting go. For instance, some of us, and we have all been in this category, we might hold on to a relationship because it's feel familiar or or because we're afraid of the unknown. If we let go of this particular relationship, what will be? Or we hold on because we're afraid of being alone. Whatever the reason, we grip tighter and tighter, and the tighter we grip, the weaker our hold becomes. The tighter we grip, the closer we come to the one thing we're trying to avoid. When we hold on to things and people and situations and events like this, our lives are grounded in the expectation of loss and scarcity. We expect to lose, and we expect things to not come our way. When we expect to lose, or when we expect that what we value will leave, our minds create a world that is a product of what we expect out of life. I'm going to get just a little technical, not too deep, but I think it's important to understand what I'm talking about. So I hope you'll bear with me and not say, I'm going to go check my email just to finish with that. I'm going to talk a little bit about how our brains work, because it's important to know this. And a lot of it is like very simple information. We're not going to get too deep. Our brain, simply put, functions in two halves, a right and left for our conversation. That's what we're going to focus on. The right half of the brain is strongly connected to perception and what the experts call all-at-once thinking. Take in a lot of information from a lot of different sources and synthesize it and process it all at once. That's the right half. The left half is strongly connected to language and what they call step-by-step thinking. Step one, step two, step three, step four. That's the left half. Now, for the show, we're going to just focus on the understanding that the right hand half and the left half, they're supposed to work together to create the world that each and every one of us sees and understands and navigates and experiences. That's our world. If the world, our left and right halves, create as the product of the expectation of loss and scarcity, then we respond by holding on to everything that we believe is ours for dear life. And while we are holding tight, there's little room for us to change or get better or form new relationships or even be the person that our life's journey is shaping us to become. Because all we see is what we might lose or what we are losing, rather than what we might gain and what we are gaining. Shakespeare once, he wrote, "What is past is prologue. What is past is prologue." Understand this to mean that the past is an introduction to. And it's up to us to fill in the blank, but we can't do that until we know what is past. We can't do that. We can't meet. We can't be introduced until we let go. Now, a couple of places in the show, I'm going to ask you to remember something. And it's going to be after you have heard the show. I want you to remember, and this is one of the places, this is the first place. I want you to just go over and think about this little phrase, "What is past is prologue," after the show. I want you to just really think about it. Because part of why I took my time with bringing this program to you is because there was a great deal of information that I needed to process, and I needed to process the experiences that I had with some of the changes in me before I could even share what I learned with you. And this means that you will need to give yourself time to process after hearing the program. time to process what you know, what you've learned, what you've heard, so that it will mean something to you, something to you, something in your life, so that this program won't just be another, what was that? Oh, I forgot. Those of us who go to church, and I'm aware that all of us don't, so don't, you know. But those of us who do, we've all had moments when we go to hear a sermon and come out and someone says, oh, yeah, what was church like? Oh, it was great. It was a great sermon. Oh, what was it about? Oh, I don't know, but he can preach. That, I don't want this program to be that. So take your time and process what you're hearing. Because I've been changed, and hopefully you will be changed too. I know you will be changed because you are on a life journey yourself. Now that I can let go, and I can let go freely without feeling defeated, I can let go without feeling angry or sad, one of the changes that I've noticed is I'm more focused. And I was quite focused before, but I'm even more focused. And I can remain focused on my goals even more. I want us to go right back to the brain, left and right sides, and in the context of letting go, letting go has freed my brain, my left brain, to follow the step-by-step thinking that comes when you succeed in any project, whether it's a job or a career or just getting from point A to point B through MapQuest. That's your left brain. And my brain has been freed up even more. At the same time, I'm also more focused on the bigger picture. While I was training for the marathon, I launched this show, All the Way In. And this was after several years of thinking about and wondering about and talking about starting a show and broadcasting a show. But I didn't actually do it until I was well into the marathon journey and well into the changes that had come in me already. Looking back at the time when I was thinking about and talking about and wondering how to go about doing this, looking back at that time, it feels as though I was bouncing around in a battle between my left and right side. They were battling for control. When my left brain was in winning, I could plan, make steps, take actions, talk about what I was going to do and map it out. But I had little attention to the overall project. When my right brain was winning, I created overall projects with grand humanistic goals, but there wasn't a lot of attention to the details, the step-by-step. Now, the problem was my right and my left brain, they weren't communicating all that well. And I'm not someone who has failed a lot. I've done a lot of things. And you will find that you have done a lot of things too, but we can always do better. So my right and left brains, they weren't communicating as well as they should have been and could have been. So this means that often my ideas in the past, my ideas were laid out in step by step. The ones that were laid out in step by step didn't necessarily match the ones that were overarching and large. Now this is another place where I'm going to ask you to remember to go back and take your time and process what I'm talking about. Really think about the information that I'm sharing with you. And I want you to ask yourself, where in my life do I feel as though I'm in a cycle where I either have the step-by-step plan or the broad picture? Where in my life do I have that? And you can actually start about it right now because we're going to take a little commercial break. It won't take that long. And we're going to find out about a book that's important. I hope you are back when I come back.
I didn't know my son was gay. I found out after he told me he had AIDS. I'm a good mother. I love my son. But being gay goes against everything I believe in. I was too ashamed to talk to anyone about this. I was angry. I blamed him for bringing this on himself. I blamed him for embarrassing me and my family. His doctor gave me a copy of Your Neighbor Has AIDS. I still struggle some, but at least now I can be a mother to my baby because he needs me now more than ever.
If you want help coping with a loved one's HIV status, get Your Neighbor Has AIDS by Deborah E. Lake. Available now for $17.95 at deborahelake.com, amazon.com, or bordersbooks.com.
Okay, we're back. Forgive that little snafu. I'm still in the learning curve on this. We're back. And we're talking about, I'm sharing some of the thoughts that I have after running my first marathon. Another experience that I had is linked to what actually happened once I got to Maui and the actual marathon day. This experience was something that was ongoing through the training as I pushed beyond my physical comfort zone and bumped up against the line between push and pain in my body. While training, the first time that I tried to complete 8 miles, I couldn't. I just couldn't do it. This was when I learned that I needed to change how I was eating and pay more attention to what my body needed so that it could step up. I had to step up so my body could step up. Now, the next time I tried the 8 miles, I was successful. And again, during the training, the first time that I tried to complete 17 miles, I couldn't. At this time, I learned, you know, I don't do all that well in intense heat and sun. I just don't. And I also learned some more about my body, about what I could do to help my body deal with the heat and the sun. And the next time, I was successful. I did the 17 miles. The first time that I tried to complete a full marathon, I couldn't. In Maui, I completed the equivalent of a half marathon. The heat, the sun, the massive hills that if you are from Chicago, you have no idea. They were all together, and they were too much for me to handle. And I had to either stop or, and I didn't want to know what the or was. This is when I learned, for the first time in my life, what it feels like to try as hard as you can to do everything that you are supposed to do, to give it all you have, and still not cross the finish line. I had never experienced this. And I'm still processing what it means. Because you see, I'm the kind of person who in school, went through school with grades with no trouble at all. When I decided to go to college, I picked the one I wanted to go to and got in with no problem. When I decided to go to grad school, picked the one I wanted to go to, picked the best I knew, and got in with no problem. School was a breeze. Sports. Sports was fun. I played basketball in our team. Yeah, we won. We weren't losers. We brought home trophies and things. And when I started having children, my children were born with very little drama. They're adults now, and they grew up without a lot of drama. This marathon was the first time that I really gave everything. And I won't say I failed, because I didn't. Because taking myself from a person who was unable to run more than 40 seconds at a time without having to stop, totally out of breath, to a person who ran and walked and creeped a little up deep, long hills in Maui in the midday sun is nothing to call a failure. But I still didn't cross the finish line where I expected to do. And I still had to process what this meant. I had to process what this means to me as a person. I had to process what this means to me as a minister, as a woman who believes and knows that God was the reason why I was able to get through the training and get to Maui. I had to process what it meant to not finish to cross the line. What does it mean when you do everything right and you know that God is with you and you cannot go the distance? What does that mean? I'm going to take a quick break again. And I want you to listen to a song by Mary J. Blige and Robin Thicke. It's called Magic. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to give it all.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. And we're talking about what it means to give it all. And you don't get it. You don't cross the line. Yeah? Well, you know, it could mean that we weren't supposed to take on the particular project in the first place. If we didn't finish the line, cross the line, we weren't supposed to take it on to begin with. Often that's what we tell ourselves, and this means we failed twice, actually. We failed to accomplish what we set out to do, and we failed to recognize what we were being called to do, because if we weren't supposed to do it in the first place, we didn't recognize what we were supposed to be doing. The old me would have had this reaction, but not now. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we can read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You all know, the listeners, as you followed this journey, you know that I started in faith and I continued in faith. That is why I had to let go of so much. I stepped out in faith. And when you step out in faith, you have to let go. My faith was the substance of my hope to follow the marathon journey. My faith was the evidence of things not seen. And the not seen in this case was the result of my marathon process. You see, there are two things always going on in our lives. There's the journey, the life journey, and there's the process. And faith connects the two. As humans, we have no set place to be. Once we are confined to one place, once we stop letting go, we die. That's what graveyards are all about. We're confined. We're dead. This means that we are all on a journey. And if there's no one set place to be, we are travelers. We are travelers along life's journey. As individuals, we're not stagnant. We change. Think about it. You're not the same person you were as a child. You're not the same person that you were a year ago. Once we stop changing, once we stop letting go, we die. This means that we are all in process. If we are always changing, the individual, each of us, we are engaging our own process toward change. Now, I'm going to stop and tell the listeners who are listening live that we're going to run out, but the full show will be aired, as you know, on my show or either on iTunes. Each of us are engaging our own process toward change as individuals. And we are on a life journey. In the marathon journey, my process was not to end with a medal or a picture as I crossed the finish line. Those things are for another time, perhaps. My process was to end with the confidence that comes with knowing who I am. My process was to end with the security of remembering my teachers from my past. When I first started training, I've been divorced. And it was not the best situation. Most divorces end badly, and we ended up not being friends even. And when I started training, the first thing I remember, I used to jog with my ex-husband, and he taught me how to move toward a goal as far as okay, jog to the next tree or jog to the next corner and trick your mind into doing a mile or two. That was the first time I had remembered anything in particular that was pleasant about him or even remembered him at all. It's important to remember your teachers, even the ones you're not speaking to right now, because we learn from everyone. My process was to end with meeting the person that God meant for me to be. And in that, I crossed the finish line. What is your process right now? Do you know? What is it that you are holding on to for dear life? Is it time to let go? Do you know why you're holding on? I hope this program will help you find the answers and even raise more questions. That's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. This is All the Way In Radio for Tuesday, October 20th. I'm Deborah E. Lake, here to let you know that you can recognize, claim, and live fully in your life. Good night. Thanks for listening, and remember to live all the way in your life. Until next time, stay connected. Visit DeborahELake.com. And while you're there, sign up to follow on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also be able to download previously recorded programs. And sign up to become a member and get your edition of the brand new All the Way In newsletter. Members also have access to follow-up broadcasts and special discounts. Remember that you can take All the Way In wherever you go through iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to allthewayin@deborahelake.com. I'd love to hear from you. All the Way In is a production of Lake Enterprise. Thank you.